Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with Chris. Hey, Chris.
Jonathan, how are you this morning?
I am well.
Or this episode, I should say. Nobody knows what... It may not be morning when somebody's listening to this.
We're recording at 2 a.m. It's still morning. I'm here with Mark.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I am wonderful, man. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
And I am here with our 2016 Trivial Warfare Listener Tournament Champion, Russ Friedwald. Hey, Russ, how you doing, man?
Good morning. And yes, it's definitely morning. I can tell you that for sure.
The champ is here.
Oh, my gosh. So, Russ, this is your prize of sorts. Yes, I know it's pathetic, but hey, it is what it is.
This is like the Marvel Comics equivalent of the no prize.
This is your no prize. You get to go head-to-head against me and Chris to see if you're really as dominant as you showed in the tournament. And I got to be honest with you, I could tell. I told Chris, I think, as soon as I recorded the first episode that you were in with Carmella, I'm pretty sure I said this. I said, okay, I already know who's going to win this thing and who's going to face me, and I already know that I'm probably going to lose. Oh, no.
And Jonathan peed a little. He peed a little.
A little. So I knew...
I got lucky to be
there. You did not get lucky.
Yeah.
Not
at all.
I
call shenanigans on that one bit. You ran roughshod over just about everybody.
You can tell how good somebody is by the way that they answer questions a lot of time. Do they struggle for it, or does it come quick? And what kinds of categories they're doing well in. And it was rare. It was like every once in a while there'd be a history question that you struggled with a little bit and a couple things. But you were pulling out some challenging science questions, anything pop culture, entertainment, you were all over, right?
Well, usually if I've asked it at a pub quiz, I'll remember it.
Exactly. There were very few things that I felt like, oh, here's a place where I have an advantage. So I think you are the odds-on favorite going into today's game.
Well, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of comic book questions in this set today. Yeah.
Oh, please, Mark. I'm really hoping there's a lot of comic book questions in this set today. Mark, I've already proven I can beat Chris.
Oh, whatever. Maybe it being quick, but ask some real questions. Come on. Mark has said that there's going to be a wide selection of subjects and everything. He said he was very impartial about this. He wants us to lose just as badly as everybody else wants us to lose.
I bought you dinner the other night. How in the world do you want me to lose?
Because you didn't go dancing with him afterwards?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It wasn't a bribe. It wasn't a bribe at all. It was a goodwill gesture.
Impropriety.
We'll be talking about that next episode for that awesome dinner that we had. So.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I'm a little chilly.
Are you chilly?
Can you warm us up?
I could do that.
What up, Chris? I'm about to. What up, Chris? Cause that's what I was born into.
Let's make it happen.
Creepy.
Enter music.
Is that your dance? Your warming up dance?
That was great.
So, gentlemen, we actually have a listener-submitted warming up Chris question.
Who's the listener?
Our buddy Dan Lundberg.
Oh, nice. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Dan, thank you so much for this. He actually came up with a great music warming up Chris question. And it's in my favorite category of music, the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
VH1 recently released their list of the greatest 100 one-hit wonders of the 1980s. I want you guys to name as many of the top 10 as you possibly can.
One-hit wonders of the 80s?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the one-hit wonder that always comes up during 80s one-hit wonders rounds, during pub quizzes and stuff, is Dexy's Midnight Runners with Come On, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Da, 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 da.
Number one with a bullet.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Just played it the other day in an 80s round.
Ah, very nice.
All right, am I next?
Mark, you're next.
What? All right, I'll go next. I'm going to go with Rock Me Amadeus, Falco.
Falco's Rock Me Amadeus, I'm sorry, not what? On the list. Oh. Not in the top 10. I'm sure it was absolutely in the top 100.
You got hosed.
I have a tattoo on my back of him.
Whoa. Now, that's why he went second, because we get to hear wonderful nuggets like that, Jonathan. Mm. All right, Mr. Oaks.
I'm going to go. Now I'm nervous, because I totally thought Rock Me Amadeus would be in there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Putting on the Ritz by Taco. Ooh.
Actually, that was one of Mark's trivia questions just a few weeks ago. And
it was.
Not on the list. Oh, terribly sorry. And Russ, you're up to bat.
How about Too Shy by Kajagoogoo?
Too Shy by Kajagoogoo, number 9 on the list.
Too Shy.
Hush, hush, I do I.
The Mule.
All right. I'm going to go with The Safety Dance.
Oh, yeah.
Men Without Hats.
Actually, not on the list. Men Without Hats had a second hit.
No, they didn't.
They absolutely did. I just cannot remember off the top of my head right now. I'll look it up in a little bit.
Chris is making stuff up.
I am not making stuff up.
Well, technically, Kajagoogoo also had the Never Ending Story theme, which was a song, too.
Exactly.
But they're still considered a one-hit wonder.
Was that them
or was
that
just
that?
The
Never Ending Story.
Too shy.
All right, so I can see where this is going. This is not one-hit wonders in the sense that me and Mark are thinking of, like, the memorable ones. This is really big hits. So I'm going to go with Take On Me by A-ha. Oh.
Yes.
Take On Me, number 3 on the list.
On Me.
Well done. And probably one of the most memorable videos.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Russ, what do you got for me?
How about Tony Basil? Mickey. Oh, hey, Mickey.
Shit. Mickey, number 6 on the list. By the way, everybody, Russ is 3 for 3 here.
No. Yeah, well, he probably wrote the quiz.
Yeah. All right, Mark, what do you got for me?
I'm starting to struggle now.
I'm already struggling.
I'm going to go with You Keep Me Hanging On, Kim Wilde.
Oh, good one.
Not on the list. Yeah. Man, Mark, you are doing awesome here.
This is my genre, too.
I know. This is your jam.
It's embarrassing.
All right. Jonathan, what do you got?
Okay, the other one that I know is a one-hit wonder, I don't think it's going to be on there because those others weren't. So I'm trying to think of the... I wonder if she counts as a one-hit wonder.
You are really gripping at this, man. This is just supposed to be fun.
Let me think. I'm going to say Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
Not on the list.
I don't know if she has other hits, but that's the only one I know.
I think she had
Turn
one other hit.
Around. Oh, she does have another hit. She's the one who's holding out for a hero.
I need a hero. That's not.
It is her. You thought it wasn't her at a trivia game that Mark did, and you were wrong then, too.
Yeah, it's her.
It's the same lady.
All right, Russ, what do you got?
How about Tommy Two-Tone, 8675309?
Number 4 on the list.
You gotta be kidding me. Why am I not remembering these things?
I have no earthly idea, because so far, you guys are like...
I got one.
You got one, yes.
Don't start with me.
If we did Mark and Jonathan against Russ, you guys are still losing 4-1.
80s music. Not exactly where I make my money at.
Not your jam?
No.
Okay, gotcha. Mark, what do you got for us?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Makes sense.
Not on the list. I was shocked about that one, actually. That made no sense.
There is a song, I was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
No, they had more than one.
Yes. Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They had more than one, yeah.
All right, actually, it's Russ's turn.
No, it's not. It's my turn.
No, it's not.
Okay, it is your turn.
And Jonathan's going to miss one now.
My apologies.
Okay, I'm going to go with, what's the song, the Top Gun song? Not Danger Zone. No, not the Top Gun song. I'm trying to think of the song, Dirty Dancing. The Dirty Dancing song.
Oh.
What is that song?
No, not that song.
Not
that
on the
song.
List?
No, it's going to be on the list. It's going to be.
I'll tell you now, it's not on the list.
It's
dude.
Not?
No, it's no. A duet.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had the time of my life.
I've had the time of my life. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
It's a duet.
Hmm. It's still a one-hit wonder.
No, it's not.
Not by both of them.
One hit wonder is a band or an artist that just had the one song and that's it. If it's a duet, that means they've done stuff.
I feel like you're judging me.
I kind of am right now, yes.
Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes both had other hits.
Whatever.
So
very nicely done, by the way, Rose. Yeah, we're so getting squashed.
Well, this ain't where I'm good, so I'm not worried about
this. Will you choose a song, please?
I already did.
You didn't.
I chose that one.
Okay, I was talking you out of it. I thought you were going to say something else.
Okay, well, if you're not going to say that I did that one, I'm going with Rico Suave.
I think that was in the 90s.
Gerardo. That was Gerardo, 90s.
Was it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go back to a person that knows his 80s music. Russ.
Now I'm jinxed. Now, unfortunately, Jonathan got movie soundtracks in my head.
Oh, there's a couple on here that I just want to smack the three of you upside. Well, not the three of you, the two of you upside the head for not having so far. Russ has gone for
it.
Look, I'm the guy who didn't know how many friends there were. All right, so
wow,
he did say five.
I've got movie soundtracks in my head, so I will. I'm going to go with Maniac from the Flashdance soundtrack. I think it's Michael Cimbello.
Yes, not on the list for the first time. Swing and a miss by Russ.
First so. Blood.
All right, Mark, can you get? We're going to do this round and then one more, and then we'll.
What are the numbers left?
We've got, that's a good call. We've got number two left.
Wow.
Number five, number seven, eight, and 10.
Number two? Wow, we're missing a big one there.
I'm going to say Beds Are Burning, Midnight Oil.
No, they actually had a couple songs.
Did they really?
They did, because I have their greatest hits album. And so that's not on the list. Sorry. Damn. I feel like I should give Mark another swing, though.
Go for it. I never heard of that song.
Here was Kacha Goo Goo.
I got number two. I got number two.
All right.
Turning Japanese by The Vapors.
Oh, no. Not on the list. Man.
You got number two.
Damn,
and then
Daniel.
You do Turning Japanese.
You're going to be kicking.
That's a classic.
You're going to be kicking yourself when you start hearing some of these. All right, Jonathan, what do you got for me?
I don't think it's right, but I'm going to say Venus. I'm Your Venus by, what was it, Bananarama? Mm-hmm.
No, they had a couple songs out too, man.
So. Not Shocking Blue. Yeah, they had.
Not on the list.
All right.
All right, last round.
As soon as Mark said, I got it, I thought he was going to go here. Started with The Haircut, The Flock of Seagulls, and I Ran.
So Far Away, number two on the list.
They
Russ
had
Harris.
Another song.
No,
are you
didn't.
Sure about
they
that? They did. Didn't they do some?
No, they
did. I'm Falling in Love, something like
shut
that.
Shut up. The only thing I remember about Flock of Seagulls also is Adam Sandler and the wedding singer going, "Hey, how you doing, Flock of Seagulls?"
All right, I got one more.
All right, please.
Jeopardy from the Greg Kinn Band.
Oh, and he goes 0-for for the round.
Oh, come on.
Well done, Mark. That takes some skill right there. 0-for-6.
Ironically,
for six.
Weird Al's, I lost on Jeopardy is number
seven.
Yes,
probably.
I was going there too.
By the way, Dan, great question. This has been so much fun.
It is a good question. No doubt about that.
Yeah. There's one I literally can't believe you're not saying.
Shut up.
Awesome.
I'm trying.
It's even tied into the show.
What? Now, the Criss Cross was the 90s. No, that was the 90s.
Not that song.
Oh, you're saying it's not that song?
Think of a question genre.
You're saying
science.
Thomas Dolby, She Blinded Me with Science.
It is not on the list.
No, he had another song.
Yeah.
Hyperactive.
Yep. All right, I got nothing.
All right. At number 10, Relax, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. 9, Too Shy. 8, which is one of the ones you missed, I Want Candy by Bow Wow Wow.
Bow Wow Wow.
7, I Melt With You, Modern English. 6, Mickey, Tony Basil, the last one that you guys missed. Tainted Love, Soft Cell.
Tainted Love.
4, 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 9, 9. 3, Take On Me. 2, I Ran So Far Away. And 1 is Come On Eileen. And that, my friends, is your Warm It Up, Chris, question of the episode.
All right. So, Russ, are you ready to get started?
Why not? Let's do it.
All right. Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I don't think so.
More to the point, is Mark ready? Because he's the one that actually had to prepare for this.
I'm certainly
ready.
Not warmed up.
Oh.
I'll tell you that. I'm still ice cold at the moment.
And I'm glad I'm not playing.
Oh, yeah. Russ, you're going down. You're going timber. Anyway, am I keeping score, by the
way? That's not about a tree falling.
Oh, darn it. It's not?
No.
What is it about? Never mind. I don't want to know.
You don't
want
to know.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
It's that bad?
What did you think it was about?
I thought it was about a tree falling. Oh, I thought it was talking about a person going down. Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's terrible.
Now you got it.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Ben, I have a new favorite moment on the show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, mind blown!
I can't.
And this thing is that's legitimate. I really, really did not realize that that's what... Oh, my gosh.
To see the look on your face when you realize, like, when it clicked.
My favorite part is how he innocently says it and then gets it.
Oh.
As he talks it out.
Oh, my gosh. Chris, you win the episode right there, man.
Yeah, game over.
Everybody that voted on the poll for me, we won it, baby!
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm crying.
Woo! All right, now I'm warmed up.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Now I'm warmed up.
Am I keeping score, by the way?
No, I've got it over here.
Okay. Oh, man. All right, got to take the glasses off, wipe off the eyes.
Oh, all right.
Mark.
Bye, Mark. Your name's Mark.
Over to you.
Yes, I was waiting for that.
At you. I'm like, Jesus, what's this guy's name?
Way to throw it to me. Wow. I realize I'm new.
I'm sorry. Chris has got me off a cliff.
Oh, man, that is so not fair. You say timber, and then you just, that's not right. Just not right at all.
One of them is a play on the other.
Yes, I realize that now. Thank you. I'm never listening to that song the same way again.
He thought it was about Lumberjacks.
Yes, no. Well,
which he liked
really.
A lot.
Just,
yeah, he was down with that.
Yeah.
Please get us started, Mark.
Please.
Okay, round one. Your first category is history.
History.
What took place on Griffin's Wharf in the American colonies on December 16th, 1773?
All right, I'm locked in.
I'm locked in.
Okay, so you've both written down.
Yep.
So 1773, revolutionary period of time. It feels right about the time that the Boston Tea Party might have happened. I thought it happened on a ship. I thought there were two ships, but it could be that they launched off of the wharf to get to the ships or whatever. I don't know. But I'm going Boston Tea Party.
All right, well, we had a question about the ships a few episodes ago. Actually, I guess it was more like 10 episodes ago now. But I also wrote the Boston Tea Party.
And Russ, you've got to say it, though.
Because they're not a video podcast.
They can't hear you.
He wants you to do both.
Boston, oh, yeah. Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys need to make this a video
podcast. All right,
podcast.
Russ went Boston Tea Party.
Boston Tea.
It is the Boston Tea Party.
Nice. Hoopah.
Your next category is restaurants. What restaurant chain, founded in 1977, was the brainchild of Atari founder Nolan Bushnell?
Whoa.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa.
And you were like, whoa.
All right, I'm locked in.
Really?
Yep.
That sucked a little yucks, Flanders.
Read the question again.
Please.
What restaurant chain, founded in 1977, was the brainchild of Atari founder Nolan Bushnell?
All right, I'm locked in.
It immediately took me to Pizza Hut, which is older than 1977, but I can still remember playing Asteroids on that tabletop machine at Pizza Hut when I was a kid. So then I thought, okay, Atari, there's got to be something game-related, right? So the next thing that came to mind was Dave & Buster's. I was like, no, Dave & Buster's, no way that's 1977. So that doesn't fit. And so thinking, and finally I got around to two choices. Showbiz Pizza or Chuck E. Cheese. When I was growing up in Atlanta, Showbiz Pizza was the one that we would go to. It seemed like the bigger deal with the gorilla and whatnot. But it feels like Chuck E. Cheese might have been the original. I think it's going to be between the two of them, and I don't know which one is going to be the first one, but I'm going to guess Chuck E. Cheese.
What do you got, Russ?
Well, there's a couple of documentaries on Netflix about this. Yeah, I said Chuck E. Cheese.
Man, okay. Chris, this is the part where Chris gets sucked into bad stuff. I wrote Dave & Buster's down. I really...
Oh.
Wow. Okay, thanks so much, guys.
Oh.
No, I mean, my rationale for it mostly was because I was thinking... I wasn't really thinking the kid portion of it. I mean, we were all thinking somewhere video game-based or what have you. And so that's kind of where my rationale came from a little bit.
So what's the answer, Mark?
It is Chuck E. Cheese.
All right.
Nice.
That was my first real chance to fall behind. I'm glad it didn't happen.
There are plenty more to come.
How close were you to going with Showbiz?
It was 30-70.
Your last category of round one, movies. What's the only Star Wars movie in which Darth Vader uses the Force to choke someone to death?
Oh, to death.
Yeah, he threatens it a lot and does it, but he doesn't choke him to death often.
I wish you hadn't said that. Chris was already writing. I think he might have missed that part of the clue. I know the scene. I know exactly how the scene played out, but I don't know. I don't remember the cause of the scene to get me to the movie.
All right, I'm going to write something down. I'm locked in. Probably wrong, but...
I'm going to lock in, too. I think it has to be... Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay. A New Hope is what originally came to me, and for a couple reasons. First off, I don't know if you guys ever watched the short skit show that Seth Green does called Robot Chicken, but they did a Star Wars episode a couple years ago, and they did a great portion of it to where... What they did was they that every time that Vader choked somebody, they faked his death and then put a mustache on him. And so that next time Vader got mad at him and tried to choke him to death because he kept thinking that...
It was a new person?
Yeah, it was a new person. But basically what they figured out was that when he force choked somebody, he actually didn't know how to force choke him, but they didn't want to tell him that because, well, if we tell him that that choking doesn't work, then he's just going to cut us to death with his lightsaber.
Wow.
And so it was just a great skit. So and of course, they showed the skit in from A New Hope. But the only problem that I'm thinking of is, could it possibly be dang blasted Revenge of the Sith? Because he killed so many, and I'm thinking it's with the lightsaber. I don't think it's with the force choke on it. I'm pretty sure it wasn't Empire. Because, I'm thinking Cloud City, and I'm really not seeing it. Yeah, I'm going to go with A New Hope.
Okay.
Right off the bat.
Russ, what did you think?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking at first. Because of the, what's his name? Moti or Mahdi. But he didn't die. So I thought that pretty much rules that out. So I was wavering between Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back, and I went Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. I remember the scene in the first one, and you're right. Tarkin basically says, cut it out. And so he lets the guy go, and he's gasping for breath, right? There's a scene where there's two guys on a video screen that Vader's talking to, and there's a failure that has happened, and Vader chokes the commander out and kills him and says, Admiral Nita, you're in charge now. I trust you won't fail me, or something like that. My final logic here is that in Return of the Jedi, we don't really see Vader. We see Jabba the whole first half of the movie. There really wasn't much chance for somebody to fail once you got to the climax of Return of the Jedi, it was moving too fast. There was no dramatic scenes like that. So I think it must have been after they got away from Hoth that he got pissed off at the guy who let the rebels escape from Hoth and choked him out and put the new guy in charge. So I went Empire Strikes Back. So what's our answer, Mark?
Vader tells him that you have failed me for the last time. It was Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back.
Nice job, you guys.
Yes!
Vader, the fleet has moved out of light speed and we're preparing to...
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral. Captain Piet.
Yes, my lord.
Make ready to land our troops beyond their energy field.
Okay, we're good. It was Piet. That's not Nita. It was Piet. Mm. All right, so after the first round, it is 30-30-10.
Ooh.
Russ and Jonathan are tied for the lead.
That's usually how it goes.
We've never played it.
When I listen along, when I play along at home.
Chris usually loses on those.
Russ is the only person that has any idea how this really would typically go because he actually gets to play along. I never get to play along with him.
Yeah.
Round two. Your first category is science.
Science!
Science!
Science! I always get Mark with that.
James Watson and Francis Crick won a Nobel Prize for their discovery of what?
I'm locked in.
Crap on toast.
Oh, what is it? Those names are usually associated with a third name.
Yep.
Yeah, I left one out.
Oh, it's down to two things in my head right now. Shoot. All right, I'm locked in. I'm not happy about it.
Okay. The names are familiar to me, but they're... It just seems very, very far away, and so that part. So I'm struggling with what do those bad boys make? And the light bulb still continues to come up, but I was just like, was Edison the only one that did that? Yeah, I'm going to have to just stick with what I'm what was in my head. I'm going to say the light bulb.
Okay, so I had three things coming to my mind. The first was penicillin, the second was a smallpox vaccine, and the third was a polio vaccine. Penicillin was Fleming, so I eliminated that, and I got down to a 50-50 in my mind between smallpox and polio. And I, for the life of me, I don't remember which one. I wrote down smallpox vaccine.
Well, smallpox, I think, was Edward Jenner, and Jonas Salk was polio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, am I in the wrong area?
Yeah, totally the wrong area.
Great.
And the third name you usually associate with Watson.
Is Wilkins?
Watson and Crick is Rosalind Franklin, who did the data support for it. It was deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA.
They discovered DNA?
Yeah.
Doggone it. All right. What's the answer, Russ? What's the answer, Mark?
It's Mark, yeah. It's Mark.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get Mark. Your name wrong all day. It's early in the morning.
It is the structure of DNA.
God dog it.
Wow. Nice said, job, Russ.
Said Watson, Crick, and Maurice Wilkins were awarded the 1962 Nobel Prize in Physiology for Medicine for their discoveries concerning the molecular structure of nucleic acids.
Wilkins is the name that I was the name you had as the third one, yeah.
Yeah. Rosalind Franklin always gets the shaft on that.
Your next category is poems.
Oh, boy.
Crap.
Please be what I know.
Please be Dr. Seuss.
What famous statue has a sonnet written by Emma Lazarus on its base?
Got it. I'm locked in.
Locked in.
Do you want to do a 3-2-1?
Yeah.
Sure. Wow. Hey, 3-2-1.
A three-way 3-2-1?
Three,
two, one.
All right. 3-2-1. Statue of Liberty. Liberty.
Yep, yay! That is correct.
There's much rejoicing.
All right, now who knows the name of the poem?
It's The New Colossus.
The New Colossus, wow. Yes.
Ooh. Next category, cities.
Cities!
The streets...
Sorry, that was good.
Never heard that one. The streets of what major U.S. city were laid out by architect Pierre L'Enfant?
All right, I'm locked in.
I'm locking in, too.
Oh, are you? Wow. It's not the... I mean, I don't think it's anything on the... Oh, maybe it is. I'm going to say Washington, D.C. Final answer.
I said Washington, D.C.
I said Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Okay, let me tell you why I was going. It's not going to be anything on the East Coast because most of those were settlements that ended up just kind of blowing up a little bit. And then I thought about it. I was like, that's not true. Washington, D.C. was, I remembered that it was just that they made it out of nothing. It was nothing.
On a swamp.
Yeah, and so that's why all of a sudden it just went bing.
That one has a lot of mythology around it for the Masons, the Freemasons. Mm-hmm. And so there are people that will tell you, if you look at certain points, certain roads converge to point at certain things that have symbolism involving the Freemasons.
Yep.
And so that's why that one's big for me.
Interesting.
Bingo.
He actually walked off the job after he designed it and took his plans with him.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
He worked with Benjamin Banneker, who was a former slave, and he memorized all the plans.
Wow.
So when L'Enfant walked away, he had them all in his head.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Fifth grade social studies right there.
Very cool. I love that story.
Okay, after the second round, Russ is in the lead with 60, Jonathan has 50, and Chris has 30.
Yay! I just need to keep up with you guys. That's my goal tonight.
Well, I've never blown you out, so I think you'll keep up.
And I will miss the final, so fear not.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, but we all missed the final. That's not saying anything.
Yeah, it's a Mark final.
Whatever, dude. Round three. Your first category is sports.
Sports.
Sport. What sport might you find yourself in a scrum?
All right.
I'm locked in.
Locked in.
3-2-1, guys?
Yeah.
Three, two, one.
Rugby.
Good. Rugby is correct.
I had dinner. Actually, I spent a week with a guy who might be listening, actually, Jason Townsend. Hey, Jason. And he coaches rugby in England.
No kidding.
He coaches kids rugby. They have kids rugby leagues there the same way we have soccer leagues.
Wow.
And he was explaining all the rules to me. And over a couple of beers and a decent amount of time, I realized that there's actually logic to what they're doing in a rugby game. There's strategy and everything. It's actually quite interesting.
That's interesting. I had no idea. I thought it was just two teams trying to beat the crap out of each
other. Yeah, exactly. No, it's a whole setup. It's pretty cool.
There's really strategery?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Your next category is deserts.
Oh, desserts.
Not desserts. Not desserts. Sorry.
No! Con!
Deserts. Death Valley, the lowest point in North America, is located in what desert?
All right, I'm going to write something down.
I'm locked in.
I'm locked in.
Okay. American deserts are not my strong point.
I was going to say, deserts in general, not your strong points.
That's a good point.
You struggle a little bit on that. For
it, took me, it took me being wrong like three times to learn that the Gobi was in China, Asia. The only name that's coming to me for an American desert is the Mojave. I don't know that that's the answer, but I'm going to say Mojave.
And I also wrote Mojave.
And I also wrote Mojave.
Mojave.
It is the Mojave Desert.
How Stella got her Mojave back.
Jonathan, you really bobbed into that one.
Hey, it runs in the family.
Bob. Doo-bop, doo-bop, bop, doo-bop.
He was saying bobbed.
Doo.
Oh,
not bobbed. Do-bob. Huh. Your final category of the round is alcohol.
Yes!
Dag!
Oh, he is a man!
We got all excited. Yep.
Well, it's not that difficult.
What plant is rum made from?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, sure, the two drunks are talking about it. Good Lord.
Did you just call me a drunk?
Maybe.
Seriously?
I know, it's not right. I apologize.
That's. I feel judged again, Chris.
As you should.
No judging. I'm locked in by now.
No, I don't even know Russ to call him a drunk. Come on.
I am locked in.
I have no earthly idea. You're locked in too, sir?
Yeah.
Rum, it's. I hear it's sweet. I've. And Russ, just to let you know, I've literally never taken a sip of alcohol before in my life.
Good job.
So.
No. Yeah, I'm proud of him for that, actually. I couldn't do it.
It just too much messed up stuff in the family. It's just better to stay that way. Besides, I act crazy enough without it. So, let's see. It's a sweet. I know it has a Caribbean feel to it.
Caribbean green.
I almost want to say it's coconut.
And we're sharing the same dreams.
Thank you, Billy Ocean. I even got that right, too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Get out of my dreams.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da. Anyway, I'm going to say coconut, and I don't have a rhyme or reason for it, except for that it's a Caribbean-based drink, and that it's a... I know, I've heard that it's sweet, so I'm going to go with that.
I went with sugar cane.
Crap.
As did I. Sugar cane.
Sugar cane is correct.
Kowalski.
Also fifth grade social studies.
All right, so now...
You're teaching alcohol to your sixth graders?
It's in our book. Fifth graders, yeah.
Our fifth graders?
He didn't have to spend 5 weeks on it, but he chose to.
I did some field study for several years.
And I would like to apologize to Jonathan and Russ for both calling them drunks, when that's clearly not the case.
Well, I don't know. Russ, are you a drunk?
Depends on the night. Yeah. Last night, yes.
Okay, so, Russ, you haven't missed a question yet. I'm not a fan of you.
Oh.
It is now 90 to 80 to 50 going into the midpoint. Russ, Jonathan, Chris, in that order.
Your halftime question. Write the following baseball fielding positions on your sheet. Take note of these. Third base, catcher, pitcher, and left field.
Okay.
I need you to tell me the name of the player who plays those positions in the famous Abbott and Costello skit.
Oh,
who's
wow.
on first?
Oh my goodness, really? I thought you were gonna say the number of positions on a chart.
No, that's too easy.
I better not talk this out.
I know, right?
Any word that comes out could be the answer.
I might only get one of these. This is gonna be frustrating. Mark managed to ask a baseball question that's not about baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah. I tried to get all crafty on you.
I like how one of these is one that is said several times and loudly. So that's the one that gets stuck in your head every time you go
exactly.
through.
Exactly. My problem with the question is that, at least on pitcher and catcher, I know the theme.
Yep.
I just don't know which is which.
Which is which. Yep.
That's my problem there.
Exactly. That's going to be a coin flip.
Okay. I'm locked in.
I'm locked in. Talk away.
Okay. So I think the one that we all get pretty easily is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Third base. Catcher and pitcher. The words are today and tomorrow, but I don't know who's throwing to who.
Right.
I mean, it is a coin flip. I'm trying to think of the skit itself. And the thing that makes it hard is they spend almost the whole skit on first, second, and third.
Yep.
And then at the very last 30 to 40 seconds, they run through a play, and it goes really fast. So the outfield, I think, I know I Don't Give a Darn as our shortstop. That's the very end of the skit. I think it's a why, a because, and another one in the outfield. Why, because, and something else, and I can't remember the something else. I don't know which ones are which in the outfield. I just thought I'd ask you. I just thought I'd tell you. That's all I'm getting right now. All right, I'm going to go with tomorrow pitches to today. So tomorrow's the pitcher. Today is the catcher. I think Y is a center fielder because he says, you got a center fielder on that team? Why? Because I want to know. Why? Because I want to know. So I think he starts the outfield with center field, and I think it starts there. So I'm going to say left field is because. So I've got, I don't know, tomorrow, today, because. Those are my answers.
Okay.
And you're saying tomorrow is the catcher or the pitcher?
Tomorrow is the pitcher. Today is the catcher.
All right, Russ, why don't you go ahead, sir?
Me? Okay.
Yes, you.
So, interestingly, one of the questions that I got recently at the rare occasion that I got to play was, what is the only position that's not mentioned in the skit? And that is right field.
Right field.
Mm-hmm. So that's the one that's not named. Unfortunately for Jonathan, he started on the wrong outfield position because they ask why, and they that's left field, and because is center field. Obviously, third base, I don't know. That's the easy one. And then I coin flipped it on the pitcher and catcher too, and I came up with catcher is today and pitcher is tomorrow.
So we're the same all the way around until you get to outfield.
Right.
Actually, that makes three of us until left field. Left field, okay, I thought was naturally. Oh, by the way, okay, third base, I don't know. Catcher today, pitcher tomorrow. And I put left field as naturally because they go through naturally quite a bit because naturally is one either the position or it's the coach. And I couldn't remember because they talk about the manager for a bit in there and keep saying naturally. And that's what kept going in my head. So naturally was my left field.
So you had tomorrow pitching to today?
Yeah, I had catcher today, pitcher tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we all said the same thing except for left field.
Yeah.
Third base, I don't know. Catcher today, pitcher tomorrow, left field why?
Man, darn
Russ
it.
Got them all.
Whee!
Russ, you still haven't missed anything.
Well, now it's second half. It'll start now. I promise.
Holy flaming bag of poop.
All right, so after the midpoint, Russ is winning 110 to 95 to 65. Russ, Jonathan, Chris, in that order.
Does he have a perfect game?
He has a perfect game.
Yes. Ooh.
It's going to be hard to beat a perfect game, Russ.
That ends now. And trust me, the final is not going to happen. So,
besides, we just talked about the perfect game. You know what happens when you talk about the perfect game?
Oh, that's right. What happens when you talk about a perfect game?
You knock the person off its course.
Mm.
Oh.
Unless you're Jake Arrieta. Then you just pitch no-hitters.
That's not a perfect game.
I know, but he still pitches no-hitters.
Has nothing to do with a perfect game.
Whatever. It absolutely has something
to do
with
it. You just want to bring up the Cubs. Go back to your corner.
I like how the Reds took to Twitter after that game, and their tweet was, Reds draw 4 walks against Arrieta.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. Hey, guys, no advertisement this month, but I do want to talk to you about Patreon. Just so you know, the upcoming discussion is like 6 minutes long. So if you have no interest in the potential to donate to the show, feel free to skip the next 6 minutes. If you care about the show or if you just want to hear me do a little heart-to-heart about where we're at, what we're doing, then stick around, and it shouldn't be boring. So thanks. Here's the message. Hey, guys, before we move to the second half of the show, I've got a surprise. Not going to talk about Loot Crate this week. Actually going to talk about Patreon. So I'm going to be straight with you. Patreon is a way for me, hopefully, to make a little money off of this endeavor. I know it's awkward talking about money on a podcast, but Patreon is set up so that if you have the urge to make donations to the show, then it will easily allow you to do that either with your credit card or PayPal or multiple other options. So why should you do that? That's the thing. How do I talk you into pulling out your credit card and give me money? It's a funny question. I don't even know if I feel comfortable trying to answer it, but I suppose I have to because that's really what I'm trying to get you to do, right? Honestly, if you're new to the show, then you can ignore this. I don't want your money. If you don't think that I've earned any money, then also you can ignore this because I don't want your money either. What I am hoping for is those of you who think that what I've done with the show over the past year and a half is worth something to you, then I hope that you'll consider making a donation or setting up a recurring donation that would help to reward me for the value that I've created for you. I think that's the best way of saying it for me. That makes me comfortable. If you think what I've done is worthwhile and you'd like to reward me for it, then Patreon is a way for you to do that. To get to Patreon, you go to patreon.com/TWA, and you'll see that on the right-hand side, you'll see different levels of donation in case you are interested in what rewards we have set up. There's a chance to appear on a show. You'll be listed on the new Trivial Warfare Army page on the website. It's on trivialwarfare.com. If you go to the show stuff header, the first link under there is Trivial Warfare Army, so you can see how I've set that up. I'm actually really in love with what I've done there. So you'll be assigned a rank based on the level of donation. And so I really hope to fill up the page, right? I want pictures of all the captains and lieutenants, and I want a huge list of sergeants and privates. It's just exciting to me. I love the fact that you guys are listening, and I want to make this fun. I want to make this neat. I do want to say thank you to the people who have already set up donations. Jeffrey Sigurdsson coming in at $12.50 a month. Jeffrey, you are amazing. You the real MVP. And I mean that seriously. You're on the Facebook group every day. You're one of our favorite people. Thank you so much. Chris Daly, Russ Friedewald, Josh Storton, and James Reed all come in as newly minted captains at the $10 level. As soon as you guys send me your pictures, they'll be up on the website on the page I was talking about. Thank you guys so much. You are freaking amazing. I'm not kidding, guys. Literally, the page has been up for 7 days, and all I did was announce it on the Facebook group. And for you guys to come through at that level, I didn't think we were going to get one person at that level. And you guys have blown my mind with that. So thank you so much. We've also got some new lieutenants. We have got Carmella Smith. Now, Carmella, officially, Carmella is a major, okay, because she's one of my core people here. But she's donating because she's freaking awesome. We also have Balato Mara. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your name right, Balato. You are in Australia. You're one of our Australian listeners. We love you. And I'm so glad that you're donating. And last but not least, the first person who made a donation to Trivial Warfare was Pate Hogan. He donated $30 on PayPal a month ago or so, and he's already signed up for a $3 a month donation. Pate, you, my friend, are the man. I appreciate you so much. So, guys, if you're interested in rewarding us, there's no number too small. Actually, I don't know if it takes less than a dollar a month, but a dollar a month is basically like 25 cents a show, which is about 2 cents per hour I put in. So if you want to pay me 2 cents an hour, go give me a dollar a month. How about that? That's so weird. Oh my gosh. I know it's weird, guys. Let me tell you, I'll probably talk about this again in the future because I'll talk about it again in the future because I want you guys to know how to do it. But I do have this long-term dream where the show keeps growing and the listeners keep growing and we just have this huge amount of people and all they have to do is give a dollar a month and we're all in and the show's set and I can start doing it full time and putting out some really amazing content. Though that's like a long-term dream, right? And it feels like it could happen. But you guys are the ones who can make that happen. So I don't want to pressure you. I hope this didn't feel like I was pressuring you. Remember, if you don't think I've earned anything, then you don't have to do it. And let me say something else. If you are, if you're struggling right now financially, then I don't want you to do it either. Okay. I only want you to donate to me if you're in a good place, you're comfortable, and it's not going to hurt you. Okay. If it's anything other than that, then the show is my gift to you. All right. I've probably talked long enough. I really appreciate you guys. And so here's the second half of the show. I hope you enjoy.
Round four. Your first category is science.
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 Every time you do really, something.
Dude? Really? I'm just trying to crack Mark up. Come on.
It works.
Thank you.
What chemical element did the ancients call brimstone?
Okay, I'm locked in.
I know this. I think I've had this before.
I don't know if I'm right.
I'm locked in too, so Rush, you can talk it out.
I don't know that I want to talk it out.
I want you to talk it out, Russ.
Please talk it out. Give us your insight, how you think of stuff.
Yeah, and I think I'm wrong, because what I'm thinking, and I've got these mixed up, but I was thinking of what used to be called wolfram, which is now called tungsten, and that's probably wrong, but I've said it, so I'll lock it in.
So you're going with tungsten.
Yeah, it's stuck in my head now, so not getting it out. Tungsten.
All right. Chris, what do you got?
I wrote sulfur.
Ah!
I wrote sulfur.
It is sulfur.
Nice.
Yes! There goes the perfect game.
There goes the.
It always happens. We talked it over.
That was amazing. I wish we should have mentioned that like half a game ago.
All right. He answered one question. It's a perfect game.
All right. That was a big one. That was a big one.
Your category is cars.
Crap.
What auto manufacturer has a logo that features a red cross on the left and a serpent eating a man on the right side?
What?
Okay. What?
Yes.
I'm locked in.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
He drives one.
I do a lot of logo rounds.
Oh, you do visuals. Oh. That's right.
I drive a Dodge Stratus. People fear me.
A serpent eating a man. This is going to take a minute.
It's a lot longer than it usually takes you.
True story.
So I've heard.
All right. I'm locking in an answer that I am sure is 100% wrong, but it's the one car company I can't think of the logo, so that's what I'm going to go with. Jonathan, it's all yours.
Man, I'm nowhere close. In the question, you said a red cross on the left and a serpent eating a man on the right.
Dragon eating a man, I believe is the word he used.
No, he said serpent?
It is a serpent, yes. Oh,
okay. Well, crap, that changes my answer. Yeah.
Does it?
You know your dragon logos.
No. I got no freaking clue, man. The logos I'm thinking of are the ones that actually have the name in it. And it's like, no! That's not it!
Chris thinking of a silver plate that says Dodge.
I was thinking Ford. Where is that Daggum Serpent at?
An F and an O, and next to that is an R, and then a D following.
BMW has a white and blue section and something else like that, so I don't think it's BMW. It's not Rolls-Royce. I think Rolls-Royce is the Ecstasy, something Ecstasy, the lady with the wings. It feels European, and a Ferrari is a horse. I don't think I've ever seen a Lamborghini's logo. It's not Tesla. It's not Maserati. The Red Cross makes me think of Switzerland, and so it makes me want to think of a Swiss car, but I can't think of a Swiss car. The only brand that I've named that I can't think of the answer for, or that I can't think of a logo for, is Lamborghini. So I'm gonna guess Lamborghini.
Okay. I was kind of in the same boat as you were. Lamborghini, I thought, just had the curse of script on it.
That's might
what,
be.
I know. I'm just telling you, that's what I came up with on it. I was curious why you said it wasn't Maserati.
Maserati has that stylized M.
Okay, because
Maserati has a trident.
Okay, because that, and honestly, that was my answer, was Maserati, because I couldn't think of what it was, and so I just used the process elimination. Looks like I'm wrong on that. But I didn't think about Porsche either. And so that's I can't remember what a Porsche looks like, but my answer was Maserati.
It might be a Porsche. I didn't think of Porsche.
Russ, what's the right answer?
You guys were in the right country.
Italy?
It's an Italian car.
Alfa Romeo.
It's Alfa Romeo.
Son of a...
Yes.
Alfa Romeo. Good.
Yep.
Ah! It came to me at the very end.
And as you were naming off cars, I could have sworn you were going to get to that.
Dude.
When you... The Italian
Barb
cars.
Barb used to be the Alphas. They were named after the Alfa Romeo.
That's right. That's right. That explains why she had the little dragon-looking thing on her emblem.
Well, we both gave that back.
Yep.
Whew. I needed that one.
Your last category of the round, literature.
Literature.
What author went missing for 10 days and was found checked into a hotel under her husband's mistress's last name in a famous 1926 disappearance?
Holy crap.
Bloop.
You got to read that again just for me to comprehend it.
What author went missing for 10 days and was found checked into a hotel under her husband's mistress's last name in a famous 1926 disappearance?
Wow.
This seems like something I've heard of.
I'm locked in.
I've never heard of this.
I am locked in because it's the only thing I can think of.
All right. I'm going to lock this in. I think I'm...
You like talking
of
things
this.
Out, Jonathan.
Not if I don't know anything about them.
Well, there's that then.
All right, I'm locked in.
So, writer, female, had a husband. Husband may or may not have been famous, but for it to have been big news, then possibly famous husband. The names running through my head aren't very good. Sylvia Platt is running through my head. Gertrude Stein is running through my head. The names that are coming up to me are not really related to the story. They're more like, think about feminist writers from the 20s or from that era. That's kind of where I'm at right now. So I'm going to guess Gertrude Stein.
I'm sure I've heard this story before, but it just came down to popular female authors who were alive in the 20s. This is one of the best-selling authors of all time, so I figured I'd give this a shot. Agatha Christie.
And actually, Russ and I were on the exact same thing. I wrote Agatha Christie.
It is Agatha Christie.
Boom!
Oh!
Sweet.
Well, now.
That felt good. That felt good.
Scoring update.
Things are changing.
Don't go changing.
After the fourth round, Russ has 130, Jonathan has 105, and Chris has 85.
Oh. Your first category of the next round, sports.
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 Who was the National League Rookie of the year after his teammate Daryl Strawberry?
Oh, all right. Okay. Locked I'm going to lock in. I mean, I am locked in.
Yeah, ditto.
All right. So I'm just going to go with Doc Gooden. That's my answer.
I wrote Doc Gooden.
Exactly what I wrote. Didn't even write Dwight and wrote Doc Gooden.
Everybody got it. Dwight Gooden.
Nice.
Your next category, history.
Hit the way.
What was the capital city of Portugal between the years 1808 and 1821?
Really?
What?
Yes. Just because you don't know it doesn't mean it's not significant.
There has to be a reason you're asking this.
I'm going to say it's Portugal City. Crap, I said it out loud.
Sadly for me, I can only name one city in Portugal. This does not bode well.
All right, I'm locked in.
Oh, man, this is... I think I know two Portuguese cities. And unless this is a trick question, I'm going to lock in.
I'm hoping it's a trick question. Because I'm going with Lisbon.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What did you get, Russ?
Well, Lisbon, obviously the capital now. So unless this is a trick question, and I started off thinking it's Port something. The only other Portuguese city I know is just called Porto. Port-au-Prince hit me at first, but that's Haiti. So I just wrote down Porto, where the port wine comes from.
What I ended up going with was the year. The years I thought was the clue in this question. You said 1808.
Yeah, me too, but I couldn't figure out what they had to do with.
1808 to 1821. I was thinking Napoleon, Bonaparte, stuff like that. So I went with Napoleon. I thought the dude named it after himself.
Okay.
Well, it does deal with Napoleon invading Portugal, but days before that happened, the royalty left and they went to one of their colonies.
Was it, what, is it Rio?
It is Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, wow.
In my thought process, I thought You know, maybe Portugal, maybe it, they did it in Brazil for a little bit, but I couldn't come up with, if I had thought Napoleon, that was really good thinking. If I had thought Napoleon, I would have made the leap over to Brazil.
Okay.
Because I was thinking it, but I just couldn't come up with a reason for it. We all missed it, though.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Your last category of the round, retail. Goodwill thrift stores report that their highest grossing monthly sales are due to a holiday in what calendar month?
Say that again, please.
Goodwill thrift stores report that their highest grossing monthly sales are due to a holiday in what calendar month?
I'm locked in.
Oh.
I don't know what months any holidays are in.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Oh, crap.
It's just...
No, it's okay. So, it's going to be... it's going to be a holiday where people get stuff, but I have to think it's not going to be Christmas, because why would you ask the question if the answer was the obvious answer of Christmas or no December? So I'm not going to say that. What other holiday do people? What holiday do people get things that they may not want? But that's really where I'm going here, because that's how Goodwill gets its stuff. It's kind of coming down to Father's Day for me right now. Ties and that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? People getting stuff for their dad that dad's like, oh, that's great. It's Goodwill. So here's my problem, though. I don't know when Father's Day is. I have very little knowledge of holidays. I know that Easter is usually in April or March, one of those two. December's Christmas and November's Thanksgiving. I don't know any other holidays officially.
So, Jonathan, are you a father?
Yes.
You don't even know when your day is?
No.
Okay.
You know what I get to do on my day? Same thing I do every day.
Sleep.
Edit podcast.
Work my butt off. So it's not much of a holiday. I think it might be May. I hope it's May. I'm going to say May.
All right. Final answer?
Sure.
All right. Mark, can you repeat the question again? Because I think I heard it completely wrong, unfortunately.
Goodwill thrift stores report that their highest grossing monthly sales are due to a holiday in what calendar month?
Jonathan heard the question wrong.
Yes, he did.
Oh, so well, no, I made a leap that obviously you guys didn't. I was leaping to they make their sales because people make a lot of donations, which are then turned around and sold.
Oh, okay,
right.
So that's what happened there.
Anyway, I said October, Mark, because I was thinking Halloween, even though Halloween.
Oh,
is
that's
not
such
a
good answer, because people are getting crap for the costumes.
Yep.
Exactly. October.
It is October.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yep. Woo! Oh, I wasn't even thinking like that. Man.
Yeah.
As soon as Jonathan went into his explanation, I was like, crap, I heard that question wrong.
As soon as he went into his explanation, I thought, yes. Go in that direction.
Oh, scoring time.
I've only gotten two questions right in the last two rounds total.
Ouch.
Mm. I haven't done much better, though.
That's a lie. Russ has 150. Jonathan has 115. Chris has 105.
Oh. Round six. Your first category is presidents.
President.
Who was elected the president of France in 1995?
current world leaders?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, nuh-uh.
No, not your bag.
Nowhere, no how. I know one in the whole world.
Obama?
No, I was thinking Germany's.
No. You didn't know Obama?
Okay.
Okay, I know two in the whole world.
I'm locked in, by the way.
I hate you.
I love you, too. Hug.
Russ, what about you? Are you anywhere close?
I'm close. I'm wavering between two guys, and it's going to be real close on the dates they were presidents, so I don't want to flip a coin. I'm going to be able to think this out.
Yeah, I'm still thinking, too.
All right, I'm going to lock in.
I think the only name that's coming to me is the Canadian guy. I'm going to say Trudeau.
Gary Trudeau? He's the writer of Doonesbury, dude.
All right. Well, here we go. That's my answer.
All right. What do you got for us, Russ?
Okay. So you can walk him backwards to get to the right answer.
Really? It's currently, you can walk it backwards?
Yeah. I mean, you've got Hollande, who's in there now. Before him was Nicolas Sarkozy. Before him was Jacques Chirac, and before him was François Mitterrand. So I was wavering between Mitterrand and Chirac, and they're real close. But I ended up going with Jacques Chirac.
My answer was Charles de Gaulle.
Oh, Didn't even think of that one.
That's obviously the wrong answer.
It is not
That's
correct.
That's because he was from like the 40s.
No, he wasn't that.
Yeah. Well, he was right after World War II.
Was he after World War II?
What? Really? All right, Russ, you're the guy who knows the French presidents. Was it after World War II?
They named the airport after him. So, yeah.
It is Jacques Chirac.
Dadgummit. Wow.
Okay, so moment of honesty. The name Mitterrand was popping around in my head a little bit, but I thought it sounded German, so I assumed it was Germany.
Isn't
his
first name Francois, though?
Francois Mitterrand.
That's pretty French.
So that I didn't might have a first name bouncing around my head.
Well, it wasn't Adolf, for crying out loud.
Adolf Mitterrand.
Oh, man. Wow.
Your next category, brand names. What brand name sells products in the following varieties? Livewire, Baja Blast, and Code Red.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah,
I can 3, 2, 1 that.
All right, 3, 2, 1, Mountain Dew.
Ah, good call. And your last category of the round, music.
Music! La 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 la.
In the Johnny Cash song, Folsom Prison Blues, the singer is in jail for committing a murder in what city?
3, 2, 1.
Oh.
All right, well, I'm writing it down.
Locked in.
Oh, boy. I can't believe I'm going to miss this.
I hope you miss it. It won't matter. You've already got a lead going into the final, but I hope you miss it.
I'm right there with Jonathan. I really hope you miss it, too, man.
Well, just for you guys, I'm going to miss it on purpose.
Well, that's meaningless. Oh. Now you just made a tool out of yourself. Way to go, Russ.
No. I'll try to think it out. Folsom Prison.
Feel free to sing the song to us.
Shut sing up, California. Chris.
I want him to sing. He can do the music.
Yeah, but if he thinks it, he's probably going to remember it.
Okay.
Folsom Prison's in California. Shot a man in... Oh, man. It is not coming to me at all. I'll say... shot a man in... Bakersfield.
I'll be honest with you. I love it seeing him sweat right now, dude.
He's not sweating. Yeah.
He has not broke a sweat this whole game. Now he has the hand on the face.
I don't know. I got a B name stuck in my head. It's Bakersfield, Baton Rouge. Shot a man. That's a different song. I don't know. Let's go. I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do with California. I'll say it's probably a southern city. I'll say Tulsa.
Final answer, Tulsa.
I don't even know why.
Final answer, Tulsa.
I have no idea.
Chris, where did you shoot a man just to watch him die?
I shot a man in Reno just to watch him
die. Reno, just to watch him die.
I said Reno.
Oh, yes, God. It is Reno.
Yep, okay. That's dumb. God.
You're allowed one of them, man. My goodness, you've run roughshod over this game.
I just had a brain fart.
All right, so going into the final, Russ has 170. Jonathan has 135. Chris has 125.
All right.
Mm. And your category is American history.
Ooh. Oh.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. Got to do some math here.
I was told that there'd be no math.
My wager is in.
My wager's in.
My wager is in.
Put the following events in order from the earliest to occur down to the most recent.
Earliest to most recent.
Yes. Okay. Brigham Young and the first Mormons arrive at the Great Salt Lake. Tennessee becomes the first Confederate state to be readmitted to the Union. Billy the Kid is shot and killed by Sheriff Pat Garrett. And Chief Sitting Bull and his men defeat General Custer at the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Okay. I know a couple of these, so that helps. And what was the part about Brigham Young? What did he do?
Brigham Young and the first Mormons arrive at the Great Salt Lake.
Okay, I'm locked in.
And the Sitting Bull thing, that was the defended...
It's the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Yes.
Battle of the Little Bighorn, okay. All right, I'm going to lock in.
These are mostly guesses. Say that up front. The, I feel like Brigham Young... was the earliest. I feel like that was pre-Civil War and everything else is post-Civil War. So I said Brigham Young was the first one. I feel like Billy the Kid was doing what he did in the 80s. So he would have been shot in the late 80s, maybe even early 90s. So I felt like he might be the last. I know that Custer was an officer in the Civil War, so he had to be after the Civil War. I don't really know how far past the Civil War, so I'm kind of still debating where I put Tennessee being readmitted and the Battle of Little Bighorn. I feel like...
Chicken tonight.
I feel like Little Bighorn is early 80s. And then the question becomes, do I think that they waited 15 years to readmit a state to the Union? And I don't, because if the state was willing, there was a desire to heal the nation. Especially with, I think Andrew Johnson was from Tennessee, and he was the president right after Lincoln, so that it might have even happened during his presidency. So I'm going to say Tennessee. So my order is going to be Brigham Young. Wow, they're almost in order according to me. It's got to be wrong. I feel like I'm missing Brigham Young here. What can you do? All right, I'm going Brigham Young, Tennessee, Little Bighorn, and hold on. I'm debating changing my answer because I haven't officially put it in yet, and I feel like my understanding of Brigham Young is just wrong. I have him way far out from everybody else. Like, I thought I had him, like, the 40s, and that doesn't fit with the rest of this question in my mind. Everybody else in here is within, like, a 20-year period. So I think my understanding of Brigham Young must be wrong. Maybe he was post-Civil War. The reason I'm really second-guessing myself is that reason, and the fact that it would end up being in the order he gave it to us, except for flipping the last two, and that just doesn't feel right. So I'm going
to
change.
It's not in the order that he gave it to us.
I'm going to change it to say Tennessee was first, Brigham Young was second, Little Bighorn was third, and Billy the Kid was fourth.
Wow. Okay. I did the exact same order, Jonathan. I figured that the Tennessee first admitted was in the late 1860s, like 67, 68, 69. Brigham Young, I thought for some reason or other that they just I think at the turn of the century, it was like their 125th anniversary right around there. So that's why I was thinking that was in the 70s. Custer, I think that was like 83, 84.
I thought 81, but yeah.
And then Billy the Kid, I thought was for sure in the 1890s. Because I remember the last appearance of Billy the Kid supposedly was like in 1903 or something like that. But that really, now that I'm thinking about it, that potentially could be off. But I think it was at least in the mid to late 1880s. So my order, again, was like Jonathan's. Tennessee, being readmitted, Brigham Young, and Sitting Bull, and then finally Billy the Kid.
Okay, Russ, what did you say, my man?
Well, I reasoned it out like this. I knew Brigham Young was way early. And then I looked at the list and realized that I had it in the order that Mark gave us the answers. Only because, well, you know, Tennessee is right after the Civil War. So 1866, I think. And I knew that Billy the Kid was in the 1880s, but I couldn't quite nail down when Sitting Bull was, if it was after the 1880s or whatever. So rather than just go with a straight list, which I knew Mark probably wouldn't do since he listened to the final of the tournament, and you gave the presidents an order, I just flipped Sitting Bull and Billy the Kid, since I had the first two nailed down. So I said Brigham Young, Tennessee, Sitting Bull, and Billy the Kid, or Billy Kid, as you see.
Okay, so this is really interesting. Essentially what happened is, Russ, you went with the order I had them originally in.
And you went with Chris.
Yes. Chris, when I flipped them, I moved to the order that you have them in.
That's correct.
So oh, yeah, that's you're feeling really we will see.
Now. You're feeling how, really hosed.
I'm feeling like this.
Crap.
Well, this is really interesting. So what is our answer, Mark?
When it was still Mexico territory, Brigham Young moved out to Great Salt Lake, 1847. That's your first.
I had 40s written down, and I made the mistake of flipping.
1866, yep. Tennessee. 1876, Sitting Bull, Little Bighorn.
He nailed it.
And 1881, Billy the Kid.
Wow.
Woo. I really hope you bet enough to beat me if I'd have gotten it right, because I had it right until I flipped it. 101.
101.
Would that have beaten me?
By 1 point.
That would have beaten me. Thank you, Lord, for small mercies.
Baby Jesus. How much did you bet, John?
I bet 126.
I bet it all myself, 125, so I'm at zero.
You're at zero, I'm at nine, and Russ is at 271.
Wow.
Mm.
Russ, my friend.
Good job.
You did.
It was fun.
You did what everybody expected you to do. Like I said at the beginning, I knew after hearing you in the first qualifying matchup, I knew that you would end up in this seat, and I knew that you would end up beating me, and it only took me 10 questions to realize that.
I only hope it happens again.
You only hope it happens again. Gee, thanks. Okay, so I want to read a couple of reviews.
All right.
Actually, you know what? Let's do a Warhead of the Week first.
Okay. Do you know who it is?
I do know who the Warhead of the Week is.
I'm so proud of you for actually doing work.
Really?
Usually you're scrambling on this particular
really?
Part.
Don't
hate.
Where did I write it down, though?
I win.
Yeah, exactly.
Our Warhead of the Week, Michael Henready.
All right.
Michael Henready is on the he's on the Facebook group, and he's a trucker.
Nice. Is he an ice road trucker?
No, he's not an ice road trucker. Well, maybe he's an ice road trucker. No, he's actually a southern swing trucker. He does stuff up and down from the
In all fairness,
southeast.
Some of the nicest guys in the world that I know are truckers.
So he gets, basically, when he found the show, he just threw that sucker on and did a couple of hauls and ran through them. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
That's pretty
cool.
That's
the way to do it.
We love stuff like that.
So, Michael, we appreciate you being a listener, man. Shout out to you. You are our Warhead of the Week.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, we got a couple of reviews, too. We have the first one here is a 5-star review from Rachel Sill, Rachel_CYL. I'm assuming Rachel is a girl's name. Rachel said, started listening to this podcast once I got into quiz nights. I've gone back and listened to all of the episodes. Love hearing the banter and the logic. I'm pretty sure my coworkers aren't thrilled with the random laughter and whispering of answers, but you've got a loyal fan listening in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Oh. That is crazy.
Wow. Gotta love that.
Absolutely. We got worldwide TWA, man.
That's right. The Worldwide Warheads.
That's right. WWTWA.
Really?
Worldwide Trivial Warheads.
No, just Warheads. Okay. WWW.
All right.
Whatever.
We're just shutting up now.
Okay. The other one. Oh, by the way, her title of that review is Favorite Podcast.
Even better.
Gotta
you
love
just
that,
made
right?
my day even awesomer.
Somebody, Ben just showed up in the background, guys. How do I know? I smell onions. I don't know what he's eating. You hear him laughing. Yeah. This place stinks all of a sudden. It is horrible.
No, that's the it's normal bad. Smell here, John.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
you'll be here all week. All right, our next review. This one is by Amorosia. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
You sure it's not Omarosa?
That's what I was thinking.
No, it's Amorosia. Like,
all right.
Like Amore Asia kind of thing.
Enzo Amore.
This person says, this one's a keeper. A couple of weeks ago, I browsed iTunes looking for new quiz shows. I downloaded samples of a number of different types. This is the only one I fell in love with. I'm happily listening to every episode. It has made my commute much more fun.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. That's really a sweet, sweet review.
Love it.
Yes.
Remember, we're on the march to 60. Well, we're on the march to 50, but I'm hoping by the time you hear that, we've gotten the two left that we need to get to 50, and so we're on the march to 60. I follow my logic,
60
people.
Reviews,
60
that is.
Reviews.
Thank you for clarifying yes. that up. I was like, we've had 50 episodes already.
We've had 60-plus episodes. Yes. I at least want one review per episode, right? Russ, have you done a review?
I'm sure I have.
Man...
Maybe.
If you just
is it on iTunes?
Yes, it's on...
On iTunes?
Is it on iTunes?
Oh, see, I don't use iTunes.
And
I'm an Android.
I don't use iTunes either.
I'll sign up for iTunes just
the
so I can give you a review.
The winner of our tournament hasn't done a review yet, Chris. How do you feel about that?
He's kind of laid waste to Trivial Warfare, so he can do whatever the heck he wants.
So
man.
This is Russ's future review. I came, I saw, I conquered.
Yes.
I guarantee you I will leave a review.
I appreciate that.
My goodness.
Help us on our march to 60. Are you guys ready to wrap up?
Yep. By the way, is it wrong that in the online poll of who was going to win today's match, I voted for Russ?
No, it's not wrong. All it right. was very right. I voted for Russ, okay. too.
I didn't say that earlier, but I thought I'd wait until the game was up.
I voted for me.
I voted for Russ. I knew what was coming.
I voted for Jonathan. Right.
Well, yeah, that was you being humble but not smart.
All right. Well, Mark, thank you very much. Great job at asking the questions, as always, and coming up with the questions.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Good job.
Russ, congratulations, sir. You are going to be the first person to hang on the Wall of Shame.
Oh, no, the Wall of Fame. That's right. Russ yes. has just destroyed us. We have to build the official Wall of Fame now.
That's right. So congratulations on that.
You just created more
I'm
work
sure
for me,
be
Russ.
The last.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, you sure it won't be the last? Hey. No. Yeah. But Russ, seriously, congratulations, man. You are now officially Thank on the you. Wall of Fame. You are just, you might as well own the website right now because your picture's everywhere. So,
thanks for having me.
Jonathan, we will lick our wounds and come back next week and try it all over again.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Until next time, that's the winner, Russ. The champ is here. That's Jonathan. That's Mark. I'm Chris. This is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye. Bye. People.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
La 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 la. Okay, I'm better now.
Don't quit your day job.
La 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 la. Exactly. La
la la la la la. I have no idea what that song is.
It's Loving You.
Oh God.
Yeah, made famous by really by South Park though.
Yeah,
really.